according to us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. The other thing, there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away sins, and a time to gather sins, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors?
All right, Psalm 92. Turn to the Old Testament, Psalm chapter 92 this morning. Find an Old Testament, be loving that as you're getting settled into that. We want to welcome each and every one. We've got a good number this morning. We do have visitors. Thank you for coming. We welcome you back each and every opportunity that you have. We're glad to be here. Just a joy to be here. We're glad to serve the Lord. We are full of gladness this morning. Beautiful Lord's Day. Good to be here. It's just part of our worship service now, where we reverence God by listening to His Word, studying the Scripture. Psalm 92. Let's begin reading verse 12. He says, the righteous man will flourish like a palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They will be full of sap and very green. Declare that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Looking at some reports of some folks that lived past 100, was reading some things about that, and some of the secrets of living so long. This New York resident, and his name is Durham Villain, Danny Miller, who's 108. He says the secret to long life is oatmeal, fruit, a cup of tea, and push-ups. Just 5 push-ups every morning. That's pretty cool, I thought. Here's a 109-year-old woman who lives in Scotland. The secret to her longevity is porridge and avoiding men. Yeah. Centurion Jesse Gallon said the secret is staying away from men. They're more trouble than they're worth. Yeah. Yeah. Donkey, be careful. Cindy's back there nodding more than anybody. I told Jeannie that and she said, that'll preach. Finally, this fellow named Paul Marcus, 103, told the Denver Post that the secret is don't eat anything healthy. It's true, I eat whatever I want. The secret to a long life, ice cream. I like that guy. We can probably be friends. But the reality is, when you think about it, it's not that most of us want to live a long life, not necessarily just long in days. We want to live a long time, but we want those years to be full. We want those years to be purposeful, as verse 13 says. We want to have an abundant years, but we want to have an abundant years in His service. We want to flourish. We just don't want the quality of our time. We're just going to live aimlessly as we grow older and just basically do what we want. We want to flourish, and as verse 13 and 14 says, we want to bear fruit. We want to bear fruit in our old age. Now, when you think about that, I think a quick look at the Bible, and you'll say, and you'll see, really, that it's really easier said than done. A lot of folks get a little gray in their hair, and you know what? I know a lot of folks end up going away from God, not serving God, leaving God. Solomon did that, 2 Kings 13. 1 Kings chapter 11 talks about his old age, that when he was in his old age, that he fell in love with foreign women, and he began to worship, he began into idolatry. When did that happen? It happened when he was in his old age, at a time that he knew better, or should have knew better, a time when he should have been flourishing in his old age, but instead he was really caught up into hypocrisy, is what happened. And so while we put a lot of emphasis, I believe, on our young people, and we should put a lot of emphasis on our young people here. We've got trials, we've got devotionals, we've got camps, we've got Bible classes, we've got all these things going on for the young people, but sometimes I believe that in all of that push and rush, I think sometimes we forget our senior saints. What about Zena? What about those that are growing older in the service of God? How can they go up against the challenges of aging and bearing fruit in our old age? Our culture conditions us to believe that the old folks are useless, that they passed their prime, and really they need to go out to pasture and be happy. And there are a lot of folks that buy into that. There are a lot of elderly people that buy into that. I'll just go ahead and go out there and just leave me alone. And a lot of times they fall away from the Lord. And a lot of times our elders, they just quit doing. They become stale in their service to God, and they just do nothing. This morning I want you to think better. This morning I want you to do better. I want you to think this morning about maybe helping our senior saints say, no thanks. No thanks to being put out in pasture and just kind of being left alone. But there's more to it than that. One lady said this, about the only thing that comes to us without any effort is old age. And I think that's right. You're going to grow older whether you want to or not. But growing older and flourishing in your old age and producing fruit in your old age, I'm here to tell you it's going to take some effort. It's going to take some thought this morning. I want to look at some hard burdens, and there are some hard burdens, about growing old. But on the other side, too, I want to look at some blessings about growing old. And there are some blessings, believe it or not, in growing old. And then I want to look maybe how we are to produce fruit. How we are to flourish in our senior years. That's where we are this morning. I want us to be realistic. I'm not just a pep rally blowing sunshine, because there are really some significant challenges about growing older. I think we need to address them. Let's go back to Ecclesiastes. I want to look at chapter 12. Some think that Ecclesiastes was written when Solomon was at the end of his life. He was old. After he had been involved with foreign women and idolatry and apostasy. And really what some think is that Ecclesiastes starts Solomon's way back to God. Ecclesiastes 12. Look at verse 1. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, I have no delight in them. Why don't you have delight in them? Why not? Well, verse 2. Before the sun and the light, the moon, the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain. In the day that the watchmen of the house tremble, the mighty men stoop, the grinding ones stand idle because they are few, and those who look through windows grow dim. The doors and streets. You hear the metaphors about aging? Listen to the metaphors about aging. The doors on the street are shut as the sound of the grinding mill is low. One will rise at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of the song will sing softly. Furthermore, men are afraid of high place and terrors on the road. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags himself along. For a man goes to his eternal home, while mourners go about in the street. Remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed. The pitcher by the well is shattered, and the wheel of the cistern is crushed. Then the dust will return to the earth. All it was, the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher. He says all is vanity. Well, what are some of the burdens? And you look at these metaphors. What are some of the burdens of growing old? Well, how about weakness? How about physical weakness? A couple of weeks ago, the Major League draft happened. How many 80-year-olds got drafted in the Major? Zero. Not. We understand and recognize because as we age, physically we weaken. Sometime between 20 and 30 years old, your body changes. In other words, it stops developing physically. Kind of always breaks. That baby never cries when I'm pretty. Maybe it's because I'm pretty. I don't know. Only cries when he's pretty. But sometimes between 20 and 30, our body changes. And believe it or not, we reach a peak and then we start to weaken physically. Solomon is charting some of that in his text. Verse 3, the keepers of the house. Our legs tremble. We stoop. Verse 4, the doors on the street are shut, the sound of the grinding blow. We don't hear as well. We don't want to, verse 5, we're afraid we're going to fall. Why? Well, muscle mass is less, bone density is less, metabolism deteriorates. No, that stuff is really, it's hard to accept. You know, last time I was at the doctor, it was physical. I do that. And everybody's cool. He said, "Hey, you need to change your exercise routine." And I was telling about, I don't get on a bicycle without being going 35 miles. And he said, "You need to change your exercise routine. You just need to do things differently." And he said, "The stuff you're doing is stuff that young people do." So I hit him with my cane, and I didn't like it. But we don't like the weakness that comes along. We don't like that part of it. And not only our physical weakness happens as we age, but our mental capacity changes. We don't remember as well. We're not as sharp as we used to be. Things are a little fuzzy up there a lot of times. As we grow older, things start breaking, things don't work, we hurt. All of those things are a challenge as we grow older. And that leads to the second thing Solomon talks about, verse 8. Vanity is vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. Now, this is the theme throughout Ecclesiastes. We know that theme. Ecclesiastes documents how our world is truly unsatisfying. And it just can't fulfill us. Our world is empty. And I think many times living in this world, and we seek those things, we find that the world is painful, we find that the world is hard, we find that the world is unsatisfying, and that's all vanity. You know who doesn't know that? Young people don't know that. Young people haven't learned that. They don't know that because young people are full of optimism. Young people are full of expectation, enthusiasm. They think everything's going to be great. Nothing's going to happen. Everything's going to be fine. There's an app for that. We've got technology. Everything's going to work out. But now what happens is you let a few decades pass, and you get tempered by the experiences of living in this old world, and you're going to know better what vanity means. You're going to know better what Solomon is talking about here. And I got this quote from a guy that wrote about what one member of his church wrote after the loss of someone in his family that was very near and dear to him. He told the church this. He said, "I hate this world. All it has ever done is break my heart. None of us want to stay here. All the world does is fool you and fail you. It overpromises and it underdelivers. And every one of our senior saints I know in this room are going, that's exactly right." That man spoke the truth. There's a weariness that comes with living a long time. And it isn't helped much by a third burden about aging, and that is mortality. You know, you look in chapter 12 there, you see that stuff that said there about the silver cord in verse 6. The silver cord is snapped, the golden bowl is broken, the pitcher shattered, the wheel is broken. What's he talking about? The dust shall return to the earth, the spirit shall return, verse 7, to God who gave. What's he talking about? He's talking about dying. He's talking about dying. He's talking about the burden of knowing that you're going to die. Once again, there's a sharp difference between the old and the young. How much do young people think about dying? Zero. None. And you know, it's just not going to happen to me. Even when something happens to someone that is their age, tragically, it's not going to happen to me. I drive safe. I wear my seatbelt. I take a chewable Flintstone vitamin every day. I switch from soda to diet soda. Everything's going to be fine. And that's how young people think. It's never going to happen to me. What do senior saints know? That's not going to work. People die anyway. If you've lived a long time, you know that death is very, very real. Friends that you have loved have died, and they're gone. That's very painful. You've been to the funeral home many, many times in your life. And you know that one day there'll be folks come for you to the funeral home. That's the reality of our lives. That's why Moses says 3:4-10 in the book of Psalms. That's what happens to us when we begin to age. Wow. Those are some heavy burdens to bear. Those are some heavy thoughts to bear. It looks pretty grim. Maybe somebody's thinking, I'll just go out to pasture and just gripe about my sad life. But before you do, let's look at some blessings. I want you to notice Job 12. I'm going to read a verse here that I think every senior saint will enjoy, really. Verse 12. Job 12, verse 12. Listen to what Job says. He says, "Wisdom is with the aged, and understanding in the length of days." Well, what about the blessing of wisdom? We have the blessing of wisdom as we age. You know, remember the Bible was not some esoteric knowledge, you know. Wisdom comes with flaws. Wisdom comes in your life. Wisdom comes with the bugs and bruises in your life. And you're able, because of that wisdom, to navigate now through that despite the dangers and the difficulties. And the Bible says, who can do that? Who's able to do that? Old people. Old people are able to do that. Now the young can't do that. We try to teach the young about that. We try to instill them in that, but it doesn't matter. There are some things, the Bible says, that simply come by age and come by experience. And you know that to be true. How often do kids say when they're 30 years old, when they're young parents, young family? Well, I tell you what, mom and dad didn't know anything when I was 15, but it's amazing how much we learn when they turn 25. We know that. And, you know, the grandkids, hey, who that? Bobby, he knows everything. I know everything. They know already that I know everything. Why do I know? I've lived alone. I'm the oldest guy in the house. So they come to, for the answer. But, you know, all that to say is that all of us finally grow to a point in our life where we realize, when we finally see, that the older people have some wisdom. We have some wisdom. And you may get some gray hair and a little bit. You may lose some of that optimism, and maybe you get cynical and you get jaded. I'm losing all these things. But maybe if you look at it in a different perspective, maybe you're just trading it for some things. Maybe it'll be a little bit easier. We're traded for what? Life experiences. We traded all that for hard life experiences. Bitter disappointment, but all of that works together for what? Our understanding, our wisdom, it's seasoned us, and all of us that are older should have some real wisdom in a pocket. That's what it's talking about. And the same happens, I think, is, as you grow older, I think you have a deeper sense of spirituality. You know, look over in Proverbs 16. I love all this wisdom literature. Rightly so, we're talking about the elders. We're talking about how to live wisely. Proverbs 16, how to acquire some wisdom. Look at verse 31. He says, a gray head is a crown of glory. And if it is found, he says, if it is found in the way of righteousness. Now, speaking generally, of course, because if you baptize an 85-year-old man, this isn't going to apply. But for our senior saints, been around a while. Hey, this isn't your first time at church. I want you to think about it. How many times have you come to church? How many sermons have you heard? How many songs have you sung? How many Bible classes have you been to? How many times have you taken the Lord's Supper? Observed the crucifixion? How many times have you prayed and worshiped? How many times all those opportunities do what? They cause you to have a deeper spiritual life. That's what the writer's talking about. God works through all of those things. And by now, when we're aging, hey, there might be some silver in it, but you know what? God's got a lot to work with. God's got a lot to work with through you. Think about it. There's a reason that the first requirement for an elder, a shepherd, is to be what? Be old. You can't be an elder unless you're elderly. That's the first requirement. Why? Because the Lord wants the shepherd, the one that watches for your soul, to have a relationship with Him that's been built over the years. They have a relationship, should have a relationship like no other in this room. An elder needs to have that. The Lord wants to have that. A lifetime of serving Him, sacrificing for Him, knowing what that means. You know what, when you're young, you don't have that. You are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, all the things going on, the spirit of the age, being popular, do this, do that, do all that. That's all mighty important. When you get older, it's not. There's a reason behind that. Then you think, all that past, we're locked in. We're locked down. We're locked solid. We love the truth of God, and we have a relationship that only the elderly can understand. Which brings me to another blessing. Blessing immortality. If you've been paying half attention, you know I said that was a burden, maybe. You know what? I'm going to count it twice. And the reason I'm going to count it twice is because those who serve the Lord well, they're not afraid to die. They're not afraid to die. Philippians chapter 1. I think your handout says Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Look what Paul says. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And I do not know which to choose. But I'm hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better, yet to remain in on the flesh is more necessary, Paul says, for your sake. What you don't read there, and what you don't see there, is any fear of death. Paul is looking at the grim reaper right in the face, and he does not flinch. He doesn't flinch. He's sustained in his understanding of the grace and the mercy of God. He's not afraid. He's looking, longing to be delivered from this body and this world. You know, when we lose somebody in crimes of life, it's hard. It's really beyond words. You know, you think about what should have been, what might have been. But you know, when a senior saint goes home, listen, there's something beautiful about that. You know, there's something wonderful and appropriate about that. It's the completion of a story when a senior saint passes away. It's a wonderful thing because they're going to a place and they realize that it's just an open door to a better life. A life that says, I'm going to be with God. I'm going to be with Jesus. Whether you're young or old, I don't care if you're young or old, you thought about your own mortality. We all thought about death. Paul says, oh, death, where is your sting? 1 Corinthians 15. And the elderly saints, those that have aged in Christ, the terror of death is no more. Death has lost its sting. They long, as Paul did, to be in the presence of the Lord. So what do we do with all that? I like being realistic with the things about our age. I like looking at it realistically. There are definitely burdens, challenges to aging, as well as I understand there are some good things about aging. There are blessings about aging. So now, as you look at these things that we talked about, meditate on, what are you going to do about it? What's the so what about it? What would you do? You know, there are a lot of seniors, and we've all seen the guy. You know, one of the things you can do about it is trying to pretend that you're young. Yeah, you can do that. You can get a touch here and get a touch there. You can get 15-year-old jeans and a dog and rat and whatever. You can get all that. You can try to look. You can try to call. It's like I'm doing a sermon. It's like, can you hear me do a sermon? It's like, you know what I mean? Buzzing, homing. Don't worry. That's bad. It's like that. You can't do it. All right? You can't hide the aging process. Okay? Can't look like you're young. Can't talk like you're young. Not going to fit in. All right, get it. All right? So now there's a lot of elderly folks that do that, and they make a fool out of themselves. But can't hide physical weakness to some day. So what else going to happen? Time is going to be despondent. Hate old age. Hate growing old, just like this. Get depressed, get cynical, they complain. And what's happening there is that they're forgetting the blessings that come with age. They forget forget what we just talked about. But I like to look at both things honestly. Now I want you to remember the text. We want to flourish in the service of the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. It's not going to happen if you pretend that the burdens of aging are real. You need to get real about that. The things that are happening to you physically, mentally, but also remember the things as we age, the blessings that we have in God. Can it flourish? How can I flourish? I'm going to look at three things. First and foremost, I can encourage young people. I can. I'm older. I can encourage the next generation. I'm going to use a passage that I think a lot of you, 1 Timothy chapter 4, probably a lot of you didn't think we could use in this lesson. This verse we use for young people all the time, but I want you to think about it when it comes to senior saints. Look at chapter 4, verse 12. Let no one look down on your usefulness, but rather in speech, conduct love, faith, and purity. Show yourself an example of those who believe. Paul told that to Timothy, the young preacher, that the old folks, don't you let them look down on you simply because of your years. Can I ask you, senior saint, did you be the reason that some young Timothy needs to be deployed here? How are you treating the young people here? Are you treating them in such a way that they feel like that you're looking down on them? That you think about them in a totally different way, totally different perspective? Do we need a Timothy to come here to help us? Is there a young person in here that is thinking this way, that maybe, well, I'd like to talk to that guy, I'd like to talk to that lady, but I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do, the way they're coming off, or should I just let it slide off of me? Should I be treating a young person just the opposite way talking about here? Should I be the one? I'll tell you this, when I first started preaching 100 years ago, there were a lot of preachers who gave me a bad time. There were a lot of preachers who put me down. I didn't like to be around them. And the reason was I wasn't born soon enough. And I hadn't been through the battles that they'd been through. I didn't do the things that they did. I don't know the things they did. I had one lady tell me, I'm just going to quote her, save us a lot of pain right now and just hush up. I remember very well a preacher that wasn't like that. And he encouraged me. He was in the gospel meeting. He encouraged me and he commended me. And really, rather than going into the course of bitterness and cynical old preachers that just seem to take pleasure and say, look, you're no good, this guy didn't do that. He gave me a motivation. He encouraged me. And as a young preacher that was wet behind his ears, he was a senior saint, though. And I look back, you know what he did? He bore through. He bore through. And I wonder, could I do that? Could I be an encouragement that way to a young person? Could I? What about the idea of maybe, as a senior saint, could I do a little bit of remembering? Just a little bit. Go back to Ecclesiastes. I want you to look at chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Notice again, he says this in verse 10. That's borrowed from Solomon. Verse 10, he says this. He says, do not say, why is it that the former days were better than these? For is it not from wisdom that you asked about this? Well, what happens sometimes when young and old Christians get together? There's conflict sometimes. When young and old Christians get together, sparks fly. Those young Christians out there, you watch those whippersnappers. Oh, they just want to be out there. They're going to make this church go liberal, I'm telling you. They want to change everything. What do young people think? Those old Christians. They can't see what's going on out there. Can they? Huh? A lot of new things going on. Oh, they want us to do some church royal lamps and sandals, huh? We got the sandal part down. They're dragging the church down. They're going to drag us down. Don't they know we've got to steer this thing into the 21st century? What's the truth about that? What is the truth about that? There's lots of conflict. But I'll tell you something. A lot of that conflict doesn't have a thing to do with Bible authority. Doesn't have a thing to do with Bible authority, the pattern of Scripture, doing the things that the apostles and churches. A lot of it is just doing how we always done. That's a lot of it. And that doesn't mean that nothing's important. We're not talking about instrumental music, when preachers of the essential of salvation by baptism, all of those things. We're not talking about any of that kind of thing. We're talking about things that are matters of precedent. We're talking about matters of judgment. We're talking about matters that are subjective. Like what about those new songs? Oh, those new songs! Huh? You heard those new songs, those people. Oh, I'll tell you what, they never sang any songs when I was a kid. No, sir. Can you remember, though, some of you a little bit older, you sang that song, Jacob Led sing, A.W. Dodd. I was talking about him. There's a dog, he's alive. I'll tell you what, I remember when that thing came out, we pasted it in the back of the songbook, 1967. Brand new, fired up, we got a new song. And A.W. Dodd, he's a brother in Christ. It was the greatest thing. And we all learned that. Just like my grandparents learned the old rugged cross. Do you hear that in the new song? And just like their grandparents learned Amazing Grace. That's a new song too. What do you think about that? We need to remember a little bit back when we were young and we were excited about new things, new ways to do things. for the service of God. You need to think about that. What does that feel like? When the gospel preacher got out with those newfangled overhead projectors, oh my, oh my! Well, I better have that chalkboard and that big sheet they used to hang up, carried by death. Well, same! Don't you look at Ecclesiastes? Look at it. Don't get all caught up, Solomon said, in how things used to be. So you can't move forward. That's what he's saying. Pretending the past is the best it's ever been, I'm telling you, it's just false. Now, the world's changing. The world's getting faster. And for a senior saint, that's the worst thing in the world, because we're getting slower. And we want things just to stay just exactly like they are. They're not going to. They're not going to. What we need to do, instead of staying put and stay comfortable, maybe, is to remember when we were young. Just because things are done a little different, it doesn't wreck the church, it doesn't total the gospel, none of those things, it doesn't part from the plan of Scripture. All that is to say that, you know what, we aren't helping anybody by defending the past. And we're going to die on the hill that says we've never done it that way. I want you to think about that, and I want that to go in. We need to hear that. What we need to do is encourage young people. We want to help young people. Stay on the path of truth and right. But don't die on that hill or we've never done it that way. Hebrews chapter 5. We can do that because we keep learning and we keep growing. You know, things are strange. They just keep probing. They just keep meditating. They just keep thinking. Just keep asking questions. Keep digging. Keep studying their Bible. Well, he's right to talk a little bit about it. There's a problem there with growing, is what he's addressing. Hebrews chapter 5. He wants to talk to them about some great truth when it comes to Melchizedek, but they can't. He can't do it because they're not ready for it. Verse 11. Concerning him, we've got much to say. It's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need again for someone to teach you the very elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. He's an infant. Solid food is for the mature. True, because the practice have their senses trained to discern, he says, good and evil. I'm reading that passage this morning because I want every senior saint to think about it. We've all been on the shady side of the hill for a while now, and you know what? There's a lot of us that, you know what? I don't even understand these things at all. You're talking about how many times I've been to church. I've heard it all a zillion times. I know what you're going to say before you say it. And we don't know that. So I'm asking you this morning, senior saints, have you quit? Have you quit? You quit taking notes? When's the last time you took notes when I had a sermon? You quit studying your Bible? You quit thinking about spiritual things, meditating on spiritual things? Heard it all before? I know where this is going. Where are you, senior saints? What do you say when you come here? Another time. Thanks for the blessing of being here. Let's go eat. Hey, thank you. How about it? Someone said, the times of staying young, a mind lift, be faith lift in time. I don't know where that's going, but I'll tell you what, increasing your mind capacity, it's not going to stop the wrinkles, it's not going to stop the physical pain, it's not going to stop the arthritis. But I'll tell you what, it will develop and help you grow to a deeper walk with God every single time. You keep reading your Bible. I encourage you to keep asking questions. Keep meditating. Refuse to be put out to pasture. You can be effective. The Lord needs you. The church needs you. Now, I got to cross the quote. It's going to help us. I'm going to close on this. This woman is now a senior second. She's not a saint. She's a senior. When I say her name, you won't even know why I had to flip this up. You're going to recognize the name. Here it is. She says this. What helps with aging is serious cognition, thinking, and understanding. You have to truly grasp that everybody ages and everybody dies. There's no turning back the clock. So, the question of life becomes, what are you going to do while you're here? Wow. How prophetic. Who said that? Goldie Hawn said that. I never thought of her as a fountain of wisdom. Never looked at Hollywood for any instruction. You know what? Goldie Hawn's right. She's right. Question is, what are you going to do while you're here? You're still here? You're still here. The psalmist said, the righteous flourish like palm trees. They're planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of God. They still bear fruit in their old age. Don't let them shove you out fast. Jesus said, flourish before the Lord. Please get your song looked back. The invitation is there. Jesus said to go in all the world and preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. It's the greatest news ever. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shed His blood so we can have that opportunity of everlasting life. Please come as together we stand and sing.